It's not hard. Amen. You just got to want it. And you got to surrender to it. Amen. It's a powerful thing. Amen. Philippians 4, 4 through 13. Praise God. I wanted to mention also Saturday at 5 o'clock, there'll be a youth service here. So if you got some youth in your neighborhood or family, grandkids, amen, get them out here to the house of God, amen. God's doing something in our youth, amen. Philippians 4, 4 through 13, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Praise God. Paul had what seemed like his life just, he just was a smooth character. Amen. He went through all kinds of stuff and was content. I'm going to preach, teach whatever the Lord does here tonight. To be content. I want to be content. Amen. I need to learn how to be content. Praise God. Lord, we praise you tonight, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight, God, that we can get a hold of this concept, Lord God, that our Apostle Paul had, Lord Jesus, a heart of contentment, Lord God, through thick and thin, Lord God. He had a hold of something that kept him in the meanest and darkest times of his life, Lord God, and even in the good times and all throughout life, Lord God, he was content to know his Creator. Help us tonight, God. Speak to our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Be seated. Thank you again for being here tonight. Your presence here means something. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Content. It, in the dictionary, is a state of peaceful happiness. Amen. Anybody need some peaceful happiness in your life? Amen. It's contented. It's satisfied. It's pleased. It's gratified. It's fulfilled. Happy. Cheerful. Cheery. Glad, delighted, unworried. That's a big one. Unworried. Untroubled. Nothing troubles you. Amen. You're content. Amen. The Apostle Paul had this in a good grasp in his life as the element of being content. Amen. That is the probably the cry of most Christians is, God, help me to be content with life. Amen. We need to get a hold of this element in our lives, because this will set your world on fire. Amen. If you can just be content with life, no matter what kind of situation comes your way, amen, that you can just be content and you don't worry and you don't fret and you don't get all discouraged and down and out. How many saints of God have been destroyed because of lack of contentment? Discontentment in the church. Discontentment in relationships. Discontentment in all aspects of your life. Paul had a handle on contentment. He knew that contentment wasn't of this flesh. Amen. He knew that he couldn't rely upon the man to be content. Amen. There was something in the life of Paul that understood and got a hold and got a grip on this contentment lifestyle. 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 begins, it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." So when you get contentment, you've gained a whole lot in Christ. Amen. In the Holy Ghost, in walking with God, in living for Jesus Christ. Verse 7 says, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Again, I said it a week or two ago, you'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. The things that you have that you strive so hard in life to attain and grasp hold of, I'm telling you, when you die, they're going to bring an auctioneer in and they're going to sell everything you have for pennies on the dollar of what you paid for it all. There's no contentment in the stuff of life. Amen. And having food and raiment, let us, verse 8, let us be therewith content. Paul's saying, just get a dinner and some clothing, maybe a roof over your head, and that's good enough. Amen. But they, verse 9, but they will be rich. They that be rich will fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Money's not evil, folks. We need money. Money does good things. It's that love that drives us to get more and more and more and more, and nothing is ever enough. That's where evil steps in. Amen. What you do to get there, what you do to get that money, amen, that's where evil gets a hold of us. We need money. I'm thank God for money. Amen. Gets me to work and back. Amen. Pays the bills. While some coveted after they had erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But though a man of God flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Apostle Paul is trying to tell us that we need not get our eyes on worldly possessions. Amen. He's trying to tell us tonight that contentment is not in what we own. Contentment's not on what you want a few weeks from now. Amen. That bass boat that you got planned for. Amen. You've been dreaming about it and you've been hoping for. Amen. That's not contentment. You're going to get that boat and then you're going to want a bigger one. Hallelujah. Contentment's not found in the job. Amen. Even though it's nice to have a job that you kind of like. But I'm telling you, you won't be content there. Amen. You're going to find something wrong in that place of work. Amen. There's going to be something that grinds at you daily when you go to work. Amen. Hallelujah. Because contentment's not found in the things of this world. Paul is trying to tell us we need to get our eyes on Jesus. Get them off the world. Get your eyes on Him. Stop wanting and envying your neighbor's stuff. Well, you may say, well, I don't have any neighbors. You got one sitting next to you right now. Stop envying what they have, what God has blessed them with, the talent God has given them and hasn't given you. Amen. Stop envying the relationships you have with others and others have with you and maybe this one doesn't have with you. Envy will rob us of contentment. We live in a society that promotes you should have a break today. There's hundreds of slogans out there. Burger King says, have it your way. Nike says, just do it. Just do it. Laurel, because you're worth it. Visa, it's everywhere you want to be. Except in church. Visa finds a hard way to get around to church. Sprite, obey your thirst. The world is seeking to steal, kill, and to destroy your walk with God. Amen? Amen. And if he can, he wants to take your life. Amen? The pleasures you think that you have in this world and the parties and the fun times that you may be experiencing right now, you think there's contentment there. You think you have friends there. You think you have what you really are looking for in them lifestyles. But you're going to come up empty one day. And none of your friends are going to be around. Amen. They're all going to abandon you because you don't have any more money to spend on them. And there's no contentment there. Hallelujah. When we have this everywhere we go, it is hard to be discontent. Advertisement after advertisement, wanting us to do this and do that. And, you know, it's all about you. Come on. You deserve these things. The flesh has a natural instinct to want what everyone else has. Amen. You remember in school, your friends bought And we used to have nylon laters. They used to sell them for 5 cents a piece. They'd bust that pack open and sell. Man, it was a business back then. But everybody envied because they wanted to have. And next thing you know, everybody's bringing them to school and selling them nylon laters. Because our flesh just desires what someone else has. Amen. And we are not content to just have what we have. Amen. I thank God for godly parents that raised me, amen, to be content with life. Even in the hard times, even in the times when hardly there was any food on the table, amen, we were content. Amen. We knew how to laugh and have a good time and just enjoy life. There was something about being content. Paul understood Satan's devices. Satan knows if he can get you to be disconnected with your life, he can come and steal all that the Spirit of God has given you. If he can just get you discontented with this church. Nobody shook my hand. Nobody talked to me. Seems like everybody's talking about me. He's trying to get into your spirit. Amen. And get you discontented with God's people. And God's house. And God's presence. Amen. If he can get you discontented with God. He's got you. And just a few more little things that he can throw your way to discourage you and to get you down and out. Amen. That contentment will rob you. It will take your life. It will destroy you. It will destroy those that are hanging on you. Amen. You might not think you got anybody hanging on you, but somebody's paying attention to you. Little Judah walks around. I'm Brother Mark, picking up. One day he says, I'm Papaw. Everybody has somebody watching you, hanging on you. You may not realize your significance in the body of Christ here tonight, but somebody looks up to you. Somebody respects you. Somebody cares about you. And when discontentment of the things of God get into your spirit and get into your heart, and it robs you from knowing Jesus Christ, and it robs you from the presence of God being alive in your life, it steals that hope that they had that you would be on fire for God. And they lose hope, amen, because they were looking up to you and to the things of God. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be. This is in the New Living Translation, by the way. Your eyes is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? or that darkness is. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Paul was not enslaved. Amen. Paul was a free man. By what the world had to offer him, he wasn't enslaved to the world's things of life, the money, the pressures of life, the getting rich, the just making it. He wasn't enslaved to those things. Amen. His desire was to teach and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all that he desired. Amen. He got a picture of life somewhere along the way. And I believe it was when Stephen laid down his life for Jesus Christ and took the stones that he allowed men to throw at him and knock him right in the head and bust his brains open on the ground, and he laid there and died. That's when I think Paul got a good grip of, man, this life, all the things we strive for. And this man laid his life down for Jesus Christ. He gave it all. He laid it all down. Amen. That's all his heart and mind, soul was built upon, was Jesus Christ. See, Paul knew these things because he went around looking for these people. He probably investigated them for a long time. He probably followed them around and understood what they were doing. And just so he knew for sure that these were the people of the way, and I'm going to take them out. So he got to see how Stephen was a man that just had God on his mind. Because the Bible says Stephen was a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Amen. He was on fire for God, and nothing else mattered in his life but Jesus Christ and telling people about Jesus. Amen. He was a preacher of the word. He told, you don't have to stand behind this pulpit to preach the word of God. You can preach the word of God on your job. You can preach the word of God in your house. You can preach the word of God anywhere you go. Hallelujah. Paul got a good picture what life was all about. And it changed him. It changed him. And he began to seek the one that Stephen had. The hope that Stephen had. The man of God that Stephen walked behind. Amen. His heart and mind from that moment on was sold out to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it takes, my friend. Contentment. It takes selling out. Amen. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Goodbye, things of the world. I can't allow them to continually draw me down in my life. Amen. I've got to draw closer to Jesus, and I've got to begin to tell somebody about Him. Amen. I can't be the same anymore if I want to be content. Paul had this understanding. He had this understanding that contentment wasn't in his flesh. Amen. Contentment was in Jesus Christ, His Spirit, His mighty Spirit in his life. Amen. Because many times his flesh suffered. First Corinthians 2:2 says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's a man sold out to God. I'm not going to know about anything else. It doesn't matter to me. I don't want to know anymore. I want more of Jesus Christ. When your desire is on Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, your life is always thinking of others and not yourself. That's what keeps us from doing the things of God is we're trying to please ourselves. I don't got time. I got to run to the store and I got to do this. And I got a million things to do this week. Oh, and I do got to go to church. Yeah, I forgot about that. The things of Christ is what matters and is what's going to bring you contentment. Amen. All this other stuff is just going to make you old real fast. Amen. It gives us these gray hairs. When we worry, when we fret about, oh, how am I going to do this month? I've got to have a car that looks like Sister So-and-so's. I've got to have a house that it's bigger than... It just grows and grows and grows. And the more we go, the less we do the things of God. And the less contentment we have in our own spirits. And the less contentment that we share with others. Amen. We need to get a hold of Paul's, what he had. A contentment with God, the things of God. He understood something. Galatians 6:14 in the New Living Translation. It says, as for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. Yeah, that happens. When you're sold out to God, ain't nobody really wants to be around you if they're a part of this world. Amen. See, Paul was not interested in making high dollar. He wanted to tell people about Jesus. That's what his desire was. Amen. That's what he longed for. Amen. It did. Nothing else mattered. Right. Nothing else mattered. Amen. Telling somebody that they can have this magnificent Savior in their life was all that mattered to Paul. He wanted to lead the church of the living God to be content as well. Not only did he want this contentment, but he wanted to lead the body of Christ to perfect contentment. He knew that everything else leads to death. The troubles of life, the worldly things, the desires that we want to be like so-and-so and to be like this one and to get to attain that and wear these type of clothes and do all these things just drives us further and further to discontentment. He knew that everything else was a dead end and it would cause you to even question your walk with God. If your eyes are always looking to see what everyone else has, we will never be satisfied with Jesus. To experience this contentment that Paul had, we must be sold out to Jesus and his kingdom. Amen? Are you sold out today? Are you 100% sold out to living for Jesus Christ? No matter what comes your way, no matter what hurts come your way, no matter what inconveniences come your way, no matter what trials and tests come your way, are you 100% sold out that nothing's going to take you from the love of Jesus Christ? No, no fun thing in this world can draw you away. no pleasure of life. Paul understood these things. And he wanted to lead us tonight to learn how to be content. He's saying, church, love Jesus. Get your eyes off this world. Get your eyes off of everything else. Get your eyes on Jesus. And you will be content. To experience this contentment that Paul had, we must be sold out to the kingdom of God. Amen. Everything we do ought to be surrounded around the kingdom of God. Amen. Reaching souls, touching lives, ministering to people. Amen. When your eyes are not on the kingdom, you're not content. You never have enough, and nothing you have is ever, never good enough. Because Jesus is the only one that can bring true contentment in your life. When your eyes are on Jesus and His kingdom, everything you have is His. So you have nothing to worry about. Amen. My house is God's. My cars are God's. My kids are God's. My family's God's. My boat's God's. Everything you have, if it's His, you don't have to worry about it. Matthew 16 in the New King James Version. I'm sorry, Matthew 19, 16. Jesus counsels with a rich young ruler who obviously wasn't content. He says, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' So he said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Even when the dog's being in your yard. The young man said to him, I added that, by the way. That wasn't it. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." Perfect contentment is always following Jesus. Leaving everything else behind. He had everything. There was one thing he said. One thing that he lacked. But yet he walked away from a life of perfect contentment. Amen. Are you sold out? Or is everything you own you? Paul had what this young man didn't have. It was a sold out life to the things of God. His heart, his mind, his soul was about the kingdom of God and all of its concepts. Loving your family. Amen. Doing righteous things. Amen. Doing what is right. reaching the lost. This is why he could go through all the things that he did and still be content. Still know that it was worth it to know Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:25, it says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, and in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Anybody ever experienced any of those things? We get discontented when the air is too cool or it's not too cool. We get discontented if somebody's sitting in my seat when I come to church. Paul was beaten for telling people of this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul was shipwrecked on his way to Rome. Amen. This man went through hell on earth and still kept his mind on Jesus Christ and still kept a love for the cares of the church. Is all the churches. We're still benefiting today from this man's burning love for God. Amen. Every church in America benefits from Paul's undying contentment, knowing Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing else mattered. Nothing else mattered. He saw the lives that were going to die and be without, burning in a devil's hell. And contentment drove him to reach lost people. He wanted to tell the church how to be content so that we too could have this amazing power, amen, to go through troubles, to go through tests, to go through trials, to go through situations, to go through little things that get under our skin. But yet we still love, yet we still pour out God's grace and mercy to that person. Amen. I'm telling you, when we get our eyes off the world, when we get our eyes off of the things that our flesh desires and wants and has need of and all these things, and we get them on Jesus, nothing matters. Amen? Nothing matters anymore. It's almost like a drunk. When he gets drunk and he's inebriated, if we could get inebriated in the Holy Ghost, drunk doesn't feel nothing. He loves everybody. He goes around telling everybody. And he just hugs on people. And that's what happens when you get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? It doesn't matter because your hope is in Him. Nothing else is meaningless. What you say to me, what you do to me, it's meaningless because I have my hope in me. He loves me. That's all that matters. One day we're going to see Him and we're going to be face to face with Him, and He's going to say, "Well done, you good and faithful servant, you've done a tremendous job, and I'm so thankful for what you've done." In closing, I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in the New Living Translation. Therefore, since God in His mercy has given us the new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the Word of God. We tell the truth before God. And all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from the people who are perishing. Satan is the god of this world. He has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. And they don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death. We serve Jesus so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believe in God, so I spoke." We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to Himself together with you. All of this is to your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. What you get a hold of in Jesus Christ is going to last for eternity. Everything else is going to burn. It's gonna pass away. It's gonna rust. It's gonna rot. It's gonna fall apart. It's going to go somewhere. But our eternity is only in Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you need and you want contentment, get your eyes on Him. Throw everything else aside and do the work of the kingdom and let Jesus rule and reign in your life, and you will find perfect contentment like Paul did. Let's stand.